is a fact of life, and children should know about it. The question must be answered. Where has mommy gone? Where has daddy gone? Where has brother or sister gone? It's a great misfortune to a child to get a wrong impression about death. A child should not be haunted by vague and needless terrors. A child should learn to prepare for death as for life, with intelligence and cheerfulness. First, there is the false idea that death is a dark, lonely passage from this to another world. And some hymns convey this impression. You read about death's cold flood and the dark river. And, well, one thing is certain, death cannot be a valley and a river at the same time. Death neither takes you over a river nor through a valley. You hear of the bar of God and the judgment seat. Death is not a summons to some tribunal. Only the pure shall see God. We approach God through Christ. There's no other way. Dying will not do it. The ungodly do not know God here, and death will not change that fact. It's everlasting punishment for the transgressor to never see God. It is his absence which is the greatest dread. To be without God is supreme desolation. Death does not destroy us and turn us into ghosts. There's a notion that ghosts cannot be completely happy until they come back into the same body again and live in the same circumstances. Now, that's a fable carried from Babylon. When the body falls away, you and I are more real. It is true of an orange. It is true of an ear of corn. The real is inside. Never does the Bible suggest the dim or shadow. The word is always bright, active. There was nothing languid or specter about Moses and Elijah at the Transfiguration. Death is not slumber. You do not sleep in Jesus. You live in him. Death is actually waking up out of a sleep. It's what I experience every morning. I open to a universe about me. For hours, my senses have been locked. Suddenly, in a precious and miraculous moment, they are unlocked. I have been limited, restricted through the hours. Everything is real but confined. I have my friends, pleasures, griefs. I explore, play, work, but there is another world all around me, and suddenly I awaken to that world. So many, many times I have passed from one world to another. Sleep, really, is a preparation for death. One set of faculties takes over from another, and I shed the unconsciousness for consciousness. In the simplest of terms, I have yet to awaken into the brightest of all worlds. The psalmist describes it thus. Every man, he says, walketh in a vain show. This world is only a suggestion of things to come. Paul reminds us that the fashion of this world passeth away. This is temporary. The invisible becomes visible because we are awakened. The longings, the dreams, the reachings of the inner man are realized. I do not know what final faculties there may be. There are moments in the spirit when I sense they are there. It doth not appear what we shall be. I know this, the possibility in Jesus is unlimited. He peels away my limitation and confinement. The road map reads, from glory to glory. Death is not a folding, it is an unfolding. I cannot see what I need to see. I cannot be what I need to be until I experience this miracle of release. Death is an unpleasant and total shock to a bad man. It shows him in pinpoint clarity the world he has chosen, the world he is in. A bad man is always in a bad world. He dreams and lusts in a fog of cough pollution, in a stench of swill, in disease that rots his manhood, in greed that makes him snarl and prey upon mankind, in infidelity which makes him despise himself. Death awakens him to the permanence of his choice, and he, like Judas, goes to his own place. I'm not a stranger in paradise. It's best said that I live in a heaven to go to heaven in. It won't be as though I'm an animal, and suddenly I will be human. Evolution is not proven here, and death does not provide what birth cannot produce. good men and good women and good children have foretastes. Long before the transition, I'm introduced to heaven. My heart and spirit can enjoy what my body cannot. They revel in the company of another world. I know Jesus. Though yet I have not seen him physically, I recognize the Father's love. Angels guard me. There are bridges to the big world. My passing will not be a shock to me. So many waiting for me encamp around me. I know they're there. Death will allow me to see them. I already belong to the heavenly society, so it is a friend who wakens me. The question to consider is this. Where will death find you? It's not a matter of space travel, endless millions of whirling, tumbling miles. If astronauts go on to Mars, they will be no closer to heaven than when they landed on the moon. A Christ person is not ticketed to address unknown somewhere in space unexplored. Our spiritual traveling is done before death. Destination is chosen and reached before the undertaker is ever called. It is a change of state, not a change of place. I drop an earth body as surely as a butterfly is released from caterpillar bondage. I am present with the Lord. There's no time lapse as though I must speed off into cold, undefined space. I am present. That really says it all. To the child, Daddy, Mommy are present there as Jesus is present there. Someday the child will know as he or she is known. The handicap is on this side. My outward physical senses cannot register to me what they do not have the range, the capacity to register. Now this wrapping must be peeled away so that the eternal senses may govern completely. Elisha understood this transfer better than most. He experienced personally the departure of Elijah. He was permitted momentarily to glimpse the bigger world. He knew it was there. It governed his fearlessness and his boldness in public life. The king of Syria suspected sabotage and treachery within his staff. Repeatedly, his best-kept palace intelligence was known by the king of Israel. It was more than ESP. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, "Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" The Bible records, "And one of his servants said, None, my lord, O king. But Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." Now those powers of another world are resident in the believer. On another day, a young preacher in Elisha's employ was about to panic because of present, visible, pressing problems. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Now this is the world which death permits us to see permanently, and it's a tremendous advance. It is the pleasantness and joy I experience in the morning when I awaken to see home and family. I'm not unattached, floating endlessly somewhere. I'm where I belong. I'm wanted and loved and respected. They are good words to express about death at home. So Mommy or Daddy has gone home. Not that she or he does not love you very much. It is that Mommy or Daddy loves Jesus even more. And Jesus will take you if you trust him as Mommy and Daddy have trusted him. Again, it's not a long trip where distance makes relationships impossible. How long does it take to be with Jesus? Not as long as to come from the upstairs to the downstairs in your home. The child is never separated when that child enjoys the presence of Jesus. That child also enjoys the presence of those he or she has known who are now with Jesus. Really, it's a question of becoming heavenly minded. It's the need to think and act in these dimensions. But how? First, by living to make others happy. That's the employment of heaven. It's an environment of service. It's what Jesus brought to light in his residence here. The Son of Man has come, he said to minister. It's what is meant by the word angel. The bigger world will never seem far away when you're helping someone. Try it at the altar service in your church. Suddenly the glory and the power of another world will engulf you. Angels are messengers of providence. Live like that, mister, and you'll enjoy the sense of uninhibited freedom. You have the choice to live now, as they do, in service. And that's the heavenly life. And second, I must remember that I cannot make others happy unless I'm happy. And I'm powerless without him. Death defines eternally what relationship I have with Jesus. If I love Jesus, his image will form in me. I am therefore ready and welcome in another world. If I reject him, I'm a foreigner. I'm an alien. I've taken out no citizenship. Amos said it in this text. Seek him that turneth the shadow of death into the morning. Everybody loves the morning, except the drunkard in his delirium, the fugitive in his paranoid need to escape, the failure in marriage and his or her broken vows, the addict and the pain for more sleep, the liar and the impending verdict of truth, the violent and the shame of beastliness, incorrigible and the cage that restricts. Ah, the purpose of death is an awakening, a romantic burst of a new day, the freshness of a special invitation, and the challenge to live. Now Jesus is so willing to receive. Him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Only Satan tells you that you're too bad to be forgiven, and you will find relief by turning toward the long, long altar in these next 10 seconds.
There's room at the cross for you.
Regrets, rejection, remorse, repeated failure are killing you. And it's an accumulation of sorrow greater than you can drag. You must find forgiveness and total change, a new birth. There's no other solution, sir. Liquor, drugs, divorce, gambling are temporary sedatives at the best, like trying to sweep something under the rug. Now heaven awaits your confession of faith. It will save you. It's not a declaration toward a program or an evangelist or a church or a study group. It is openly and personally accepting Jesus of Nazareth as the only begotten Son of God, your Savior Messiah. It says, I need a Savior. It says, I need you, Jesus. So come and I'm going to pray with you. We come at thy bidding. Thy enemies call thee the friend of sinners. We need that friendship. The bottle, the needle, the wager, the divorce, the cuss word are not friends. They're thieves. And so many have fallen among them and are half dead. Now we thank thee for Calvary and for thy eternal victory for us there. You took our place and paid our debt, and we belong to thee. Thou art our shepherd. We will fear no evil, for thou art with us. I pray for performers who love thee, who entertain. Raise up Christian friends for them who are tolerant and understanding. I pray for those who work in the timber. Safeguard men who operate heavy equipment. I pray for the civil service employees. Many fear that cutbacks will endanger their jobs. Bless these with confidence in thee. Thou hast taught us to pray for all men, and I do because I love thy human beings, Lord. Whether color, circumstances, clothing are same or not, give us all that love. Multiply revival time this week to thy glory. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now we know and we fellowship a living Christ, not a traditional Christ. Our high priest is among us to minister. And through the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating in the body of believers today, we're conscious of the Lord's will and direction. Jesus is moving toward someone in her darkest hour. This woman is contemplating death by an overdose. She has the pills laid out and her final thoughts recorded, and life has become just too heavy a burden for that woman. Mysteriously, she's been led to this service. Way, way back, lady, someone invested prayer in you, And that prayer is before the throne, and God has delayed your act. The answer is not in those pillows, lady. The answer is in the open tomb and Christ's victory and provision for you. So turn to Jesus as you did when you were a little girl and said your evening prayers at your mother's knee. And Jesus will save you. And then with his help, you can solve your problem. Now I thank Jesus for reaching you. And I give Jesus all the glory. He loves us all. This is the meeting. The Holy Spirit gathers us in this network fellowship. Our black brethren in South Africa are with us. Our brown brethren in the Philippines are with us. Our red brethren with famous tribal names like Apache and Navajo and Sioux and Cree and Mohawk are with us. And we're waiting for the call. The greatest of all suppers has been scheduled. The marriage supper of the Lamb. And the same Holy Spirit shall gather us. And there's a place for you if you will place your trust in the Spirit. And not in the flesh, for it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.